Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
A married New York teacher and mother of three was charged with abusing a teenager. But instead of spending time behind bars, she managed to walk away with no prison time at all. We're breaking down her twisted messages, this sordid history, and how she managed to get such leniency, all with predator catcher Chris Hansen and attorney Brian Claypool. Welcome to Sidebar, presented by Law and Crime. I'm Jesse Weber. Over the past several months, we have reported on multiple female teachers and educators accused of taking advantage of their proximity and power over their students, coercing them into sexual relations. It seemed like week after week we were covering one of these stories. But the latest case making headlines is that of 33-year-old Melissa Rackenzies out in New York. And I tell you right now, this is a different one, to say the least. So prosecutors in Queens say that she raped a 14-year-old boy on a regular basis for a year. According to the Queens County District Attorney's Office, Rackenzies was charged in August of 2023 with rape in the second and third degrees, criminal sexual act in the second degree, and endangering the welfare of a child. Just after his wife's arrest, husband William Rackenzies told the New York Post, quote, "My wife is innocent. She's the mother of three kids. She loves them very much. She's been a big part of the community at her school. We all support her. We're saying she's innocent. I won't elaborate any further why." According to the charging documents, Rackenzies met the student during summer school in 2022 when she was dean at a middle school called Corona Arts and Science Academy. She was one of the summer school teachers as well as a counselor for the victim. And prosecutors say that Rackenzies started grooming the 14-year-old boy by having sexual conversations with him on social media. A few months later, Rackenzies started meeting up with the victim inside of her car near the school where she abused him. The criminal complaint says that Rackenzies raped the victim at least once a week for nearly a year. Now, ironically, Rackenzies actually shared a post on her Facebook page at one point in time about helping kids understand consent. Investigators were able to get their hands on screenshots of Instagram messages between Rackenzies and the underage boy that talked about these sexual activities. How all of this came to light is a little bit of a different story from ones that we've heard before. So Rackenzies allegedly went to the principal of the school last summer to report that the student that she was allegedly abusing had threatened to shoot her and her family if she didn't give him $5,000. This is according to prosecutors. It's not clear if the teacher told the principal why the student was trying to extort her. The victim has since denied ever threatening Rackenzies. But after that, the student emailed the principal and assistant principal screenshots of his explicit alleged conversations with Rackenzies and accused her of having sex with him. The victim spoke anonymously with the New York Post when this teacher was arrested. And he says the first time that they met up in person after school, she asked if she could kiss him while they were walking in a park. He told the Post, quote, "This came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting it because she said that she had a husband and stuff. I felt weird, like I had to hug her back. I hugged her. I kissed her. That's how it started." The teen claims that every time he met up with Rackenzies at her car near the school, they had sex. The victim claimed Rackenzies would sometimes give him money or nicotine products. He says that the most she ever gave him, at least at once, was $500. Now, the New York Post claimed that its reporters had viewed some of the text messages sent between the two, which I will tell you are really stomach-turning. Rackenzies reportedly wrote, quote, "I want to be able to kiss those lips of yours," and, quote, "I want you so bad, and now I got to go read kids' books like WTF. Okay, so that's part one. Now let's talk about part two, this what appears to be a sweetheart deal that she seemed to have worked out. I'm not sure I fully get it, but that's why we're going to have great people to talk about it. So Rackenzies could have faced up to 7 years in prison. But according to the Queens DA, they informed us that in October, a grand jury returned an indictment of one count of endangering the welfare of a child, which is just a misdemeanor, and a harassment violation. She entered a guilty plea on both. And as part of that deal, she won't serve any jail time. She had been released without bail during the investigation. She had to permanently hand over her teaching license and resign from the school district. She was ordered to complete a 52-week sex offender program and continue mental health counseling for at least the next year. If she completes those, after 1 year, the court will vacate the misdemeanor charge. For now, a temporary restraining order has been put in place that says Rackenzie can't go near the victim. That will become a full order of protection for 2 years. But keep this in mind, even if she fails to comply with the conditions that the court ordered, she would just be sentenced to 3 years probation on the misdemeanor charge, so no prison time. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's make sense of this. Let me bring on right now defense attorney Brian Claypool and renowned predator catcher Chris Hansen, the host of Takedown on TrueBlue.com and the podcast Predators I've Caught. Gentlemen, great to have you both here. Brian, I will start with you. I'm not sure I understand this deal. If it was a deal, if it was that these higher charges weren't submitted to the grand jury, or they were submitted to the grand jury and grand jury didn't come back with the rape charges. All I know is these are incredibly serious allegations, incredibly serious initial charges, and now no prison time. What's going on?
Hey, Jesse, great to see you again. Look, this is a catastrophic failure of a prosecution in this county, but not county, Jesse. This is nationwide. I've been working on sexual abuse cases for over 12 years now, represented hundreds of victims on the civil side. What I try to do on the civil side is assist the criminal side to make sure to get prosecution. By civil side, I mean there's a lawsuit here pending as well by the 14-year-old's family against the school district. What I'm seeing, not only in California, but cases nationwide, is a very lackadaisical attitude prosecuting these cases, and even more so when it comes to a woman who has sexually abused a young boy. It's a major problem because, like in this case, you make a great point. It looks like the prosecutor only submitted evidence on one count. That's insane. This young boy was allegedly statutorily raped throughout a year. There should have been 50 counts.
Does it give you the idea that there's some weird history to this? I mean, I mentioned the idea of the alleged threats. You have the husband defending the wife. Maybe it was they couldn't prove it. I don't know. You tell me.
No, not at all, dude. No, there's no way, because you just made another good point. In these sexual abuse cases, Chris can probably speak to this. Yep. A lot of times it's he said, she said, unless, for example, he gets some videotape of the alleged perpetrator saying that he wants to do something to a minor, or you have a text message, or you have an email, or you have a voicemail where the perpetrator is saying, I want to do this to you. Here you have that. It's like, this
the
isn't
text messages.
He said, she said. So there's no mistake for these prosecutors to drop the ball.
Hey, everybody. So one of my favorite things about being a host here on Law and Crime is how passionate our audience is. You guys, you don't just sit back and watch. No, you engage. You leave comments. You give us feedback. You make your opinions known. Can't tell you how much we appreciate that and value that. And one of the most popular opinions that we have seen is how much you love our police interrogations. And I have to agree, because they are so unpredictable. They let you see firsthand how detectives uncover the truth behind a crime, the strategies they use, what suspects, defendants say. It is so important at trials. Can't tell you enough. Well, I am excited to tell you that we here at Law and Crime, we have heard you loud and clear. And we have launched a whole new YouTube channel dedicated only to interrogation videos. It is aptly named Law and Crime Interrogations, and it is your new destination for all of the most gripping and unique interrogations on the internet. We're talking the moments when killers cracked, false confessions, the most elaborate cover-up schemes that still seem to fail. You can check it out. Go subscribe. Let us know what you think. Click the link in the description to step inside the interrogation room on Law and Crime Interrogations. Chris, we talk so many times about the cases where charges are forthcoming, where they're prosecuting the person, where they got a guilty plea on these serious charges, or they're ultimately found convicted. This is a different one.
Well, it is a much different case. I mean, this has been epidemic, and the two of you know this, that we have seen more of these cases in the last 2 years than I've seen in the 40 previous years of my career. So it's epidemic. And obviously there's a situation sometimes in schools where female teachers are trying to replay a pleasant part of their life in their mind, or they get off on a power trip. And based upon the texts, which nobody is disputing in this case, there's good evidence that that happened here. Now, you have this allegation that the boy threatened the teacher and the family. Is that legit, or is that something that, you know, she concocted because she knew these charges potentially were coming, that the relationship broke off or whatever happened here. To me, it doesn't make sense that they only got those lighter charges from the grand jury. It seems like there was a lot more evidence there to more seriously charge. And I honestly, I'm at a loss to explain why she's not facing more severe penalties here, more severe charges.
And Chris, this is what I wanted to ask you. Do you worry about her ability to be around other children, right? There's a part of the idea in the plea deal where she can no longer work in New York in the education system. But I'll give you an idea. We have this sponsor. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Truthfinder. And sure. It's this large public record search platform for people. Anybody can use it. You can look up if somebody has a criminal history or if somebody, not necessarily if they're a registered sex offender, it would cover that too. But you could look up their history. Even if I would imagine a misdemeanor like this would be something that would be listed. But unless you use something like that, like I don't know, or you follow the news, I don't know how some you would know about her in your community, because these are still serious allegations, whether or not she was convicted of a felony.
Well, exactly. And we've seen this pattern over and over across the country where school districts, some of them may do a criminal background check in their own jurisdiction, but they may not look hard enough or deep enough to see if there has been trouble elsewhere. There have been a number of these investigative stories over the years, and that's how these people get dusted up in one school district and end up moving to another state, and they end up teaching there. It seems that this is a case also where sometimes society looks differently at the female teacher having a sexual relationship with the male teenage student. It's still viewed as, you know, a little boy's dream. It's a fantasy come true. What's the harm? Well, there is harm there. And if you ask this young man's parents, I'm sure they've got a whole lot to deal with right now, psychologically, perhaps physically. You know, there's a reason why we have an age of consent in our nation, and this is why. Kids are not capable of making these decisions until they're older and developed.
We were just talking about Truthfinder before with Chris and Brian about Melissa Rackenzie's, this idea of finding out the past of people in your lives. Well, Truthfinder is an incredible service. They are a great sponsor of ours. Truthfinder is one of the largest public records search services in the entire world. Their whole goal is to help people like you learn the reality about the people in their lives. You can go on their website, truthfinder.com, and what you do is you type in a name. Make it simple. You type in mine, Jesse Weber, gives you a good start. What happens is you automatically get access to all of these reports, including information like phone numbers, addresses, associates, previous arrests, criminal convictions, especially in cases of predators that we cover. If you type in an address like your home address, it tells you registered sex offenders that may live in that area too. That's the point. Unless you use Truthfinder, you may never really know what's going on with the people around you. New neighbors, friends, schoolmates, parents of your kids' friends, social media buddies. You can use Truthfinder to find out more information about them, and you really can never be too careful in today's world, so it's just a good idea to do it. Right now, you can get 50% off of confidential background reports. Just go to truthfinder.com/LC Sidebar. Brian, you mentioned that lawsuit. Let's explore that a little bit. So the boy's mother filed a lawsuit against the Department of Education back in January, saying that officials should have prevented her son's sexual abuse. And in one of the filings, the victim's mother and guardian states, quote, "At the risk of stating the obvious, the aforementioned conduct occurred without my knowledge and was kept from me by my son in significant part due to his infancy." Now, quick side note, the words infant or infancy often used in the filing refer to the victim. We know he's a teen boy, but in law, infant in a filing like this can mean underage or a minor. Now, there's also this other issue in terms of the lawsuit and whether it can even be brought. Is it too late? It has something to do with a notice of claim. So the document goes on to state, quote, "Since I do not have any legal training, I was not aware that notice of claim against school districts must ordinarily be filed within 90 days of an occurrence. During this time, I have been concerned with trying to help my son process the trauma that is transported and move from this prolonged abuse that he has suffered rather than looking into the possibility of litigation." And then she goes on to say that she and her attorney asked the court to allow them to file a late notice of claim and have moved forward with the civil suit. They're apparently looking for compensatory damages, although it's unspecified. Walk me through that.
Yeah, sure. Jesse, just to give an example, last 3.5 years, I represented, if you can believe this, to Chris's point, how bad this epidemic is, I represented over 100 victims in a massive child sexual abuse case against the city of Santa Monica. That's a city on the west part of LA, right on the ocean. It's actually a very beautiful city. But there was this program called the Police Activities League, where young underserved kids in the community would go, like, for example, during the summer and after school, they play games, they play sports, they do go in the computer room and do their schoolwork. And there was a guy that worked for the city he worked at the city IT department, pretended to be a police officer. He dressed up with an undercover outfit, you know, have a badge. He'd walk with his dog, show up with an undercover car at all the ball games and everything. He ended up molesting hundreds, if not more, kids in the 90s and early 2000s. And what happened there is when we got involved, typically laws across the country are you're required to first notify a government entity that you intend on suing them. A school district, any public school district is what's considered a government entity. So across the country, you're required to give what's called a notice of claim, which mm-hmm. you're notifying of an intent to sue. And a lot of times, like what you're talking about, and even in our case, these kids don't know, they haven't told anybody. Think about that. They haven't even disclosed the abuse. How are they supposed to file a notice of claim within 90 days? And that gives these school districts a loophole to avoid these lawsuits. But one last point I want to make, just so your listeners know this, in order to sue a school district, in not only California, but nationwide, you got to prove one of two things: that the school had actual notice of a teacher, or in this case, this after school, actual notice that they pose a risk of serious harm to the kids. What do I mean by that? Somebody has previously reported, like Rickenzie in this case, or the guy that dressed up like a cop. It's called actual notice. If you don't have any complaint prior to that, which a lot of times in these cases you don't, you can then prove it through should have known. The school should have known. And that gets to Chris's point. These schools and after-school programs across the country, they just turn a blind eye, Jesse. And the big reason why is because, make no mistake about it, all these schools are big business. They are business. Public schools, they get funding, Jesse, based on how many kids show up in their classroom on a daily basis. And if you've got a rampant sexual abuse scandal going at your school, parents are going to pull the kids, they lose funding, and they go out of business.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Chris, do you think that's a valid concern that Brian makes? I mean, the idea here, let's say the school district didn't actually know, but they should have known how this was happening for a year, and they didn't know about that. In your experience,
Brian makes a great point.
You know, what do you see?
Well, I see that they should have known. I think that, you know, anytime you have a school and a school program and you allow one-on-one exposure between vulnerable kids and adults, you have the potential for danger. Things have to be monitored. Now, of course, there are mentor programs, and of course, there are wonderful teachers out there who take it upon themselves to tutor these kids, and they change lives, right? But if something like this is going on for a year, and it's the sort of, you know, unique crime where kids don't report this right away because they've been groomed, because they're confused, they're not ready to handle this sort of intimate activity, it goes on for a while before it's reported. And then the child is embarrassed, child is shocked. We see this across the board with adults having, you know, one-on-one exposure ungoverned with adults in positions of power. And so the schools do have a responsibility, and I'll guarantee you that if you go back and look at all of this, there were whispers, there were rumors, there were perhaps even contacts between school officials and this particular teacher saying, hey, do you think this is the wisest way to go? We see you spending a lot of time with this individual student. Yeah. And if there wasn't that contact, there should have been.
So, Brian, let me close it out with you. If there was, if this lawsuit does proceed, if it's allowed to move forward, what are we looking at in terms of damages, whether this goes to trial and they're actually successful or there's a settlement by the school district? And do you think it would be likely settled by the school district if the court allows it to go forward?
Yeah, great question, Jesse. Typically across the country, if you're a minor and you're still under 18, even though you missed that deadline you talked about, the notice of claim deadline, most states or counties will allow the child to file what's called a late claim because the statute of limitations is told while they're a minor. So I think this young man will be able to proceed. Back to your other question, I will tell you, I'll speak to California. Jesse, we have seen massive verdicts and settlements over the last few years in these child sexual abuse cases because of what Chris was mentioning as well. The reason why is, even if a school says, oh, I didn't get actual notice of this teacher, you know, raping a young man, there are what's called red flags. And I actually wrote a book a couple years ago. It's called The Break the Code of Silence. And I talked about, I even listed at the end of the book, over 25 red flags that any one of those, you could customarily see at a school. To Chris's point, for example, here in your point, this young man was what? He was allegedly raped over a year, Jesse. Those are red flags. Some of them took place in the school premises. Some took place parked in a parking lot right next to the Arch building. So if anybody has a set of eyes and a set of ears and they're paying attention, they should see this going on. There's a legal doctrine called in loco parentis, which means in Latin that a school sits in the place as the parent of the child. So these jurors across the country, Jesse, good trial lawyers will argue that in opening and closing statement, that there's a legal duty for schools to take care of these students. But I'll finish with this. I mean, average settlements, for example, in a case like this would probably be in the before going to trial, $3 to $5 million range. Mm-hmm. And if you go to trial on these cases, we're seeing upwards of 20, 25. We even, Jesse, had a case recently out here in LA County for over $100 million, I'm not kidding you, for a child sexual abuse case. So jury, even though prosecutors aren't taking this serious, juries are.
And then we know the standard of proof is lower. And I will tell you, as we all know, that if this case progresses, more information could come out. So even if the criminal case is done through the course of discovery, we could learn a lot more about the circumstances surrounding this than we did with a criminal case proceeding. Brian Claypool, Chris Hansen, thank you both so much. Brian's always on the media. You can catch him every 5 seconds. And again, Chris, host of Takedown on TrueBlue.com, podcast Predators I've Caught. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
And that's all we have for you here on Sidebar, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jesse Weber. I'll speak to you next time.